Today's daf is Sukkah daf memhei, and we are two lines from the bottom of daf mem dalet amid beis, the two dots, mitzvahs lulav ketzah. Today's daf is being learned as a schus refuah shalema for Shlomo ben Sarah Aliza, Avadya ben Miriam Leah, Moshe Abba ben Devorah, Dvorah bas Mecha, Shmu ben Tehila, Baruch Bendit ben Devorah Hinda, Yitzchak Meir ben Miril, Chaim Yaakov Meir ben Esther Tova, and Yehuda Leib ben Basha. So the first Mishnah of the fourth parak of Maseches Sukkah, amongst other things, discussed the halacha of taking Dalad Minim on Shabbos. And the Mishnah said that the only time Dalad Minim was quote-unquote Doiche Shabbos was when the first day of Sukkot fell out on Shabbos. Then the Mishnah went on to describe how exactly the Lulavim were brought to the Beis HaMikdash, in a brisa, how they were brought to the Beis HaKnesses when the first day of Sukkot fell out on Shabbos. Meaning, it's Shabbos, you're not allowed to carry Dalad Amos B'Shus HaRabim. It's the 39th of the 39 Malachas. So obviously, the Dalad Minim had to be prepared before Shabbos. And the Mishnah went on to describe how exactly this happened. And the Mishnah said there was a before and an after. Meaning, in the olden days, what would happen is people would come, they would bring their Lulavim Erev Shabbos, they would give them over to the Gaboim, the Chazonim, and they would lay them out al gabi itztaba, on top of the itztaba. The older people wouldn't do that because they would be pushing there, it would be considered dangerous. Lamaisa, mipnei asakona, they decided that this is not a good way to do it. In fact, they went so far to such an extreme, they said that on Shabbos, even though Dalad Minim, the first day of Sukkot is Doicha Shabbos, don't come to the Beis HaMikdash, it's better you take your Dalad Minim at home. Either way, the Gemara is just going to focus on one very, very minor detail of what the Mishnah said, and that is mitzvahs lulav ketzah. Tani Tana Kamed Rav Nachman. There was a Tana that said over the following braisa in the presence of Rav Nachman. He said that when the Mishnah says that the Chazonim would take the lulavim and they would lie them on the itztaba, the lashon that he used was soidrin al gagho itztaba. They would line it on the roof of the itztaba. So just to visualize this, you're on the harabayis, and the harabayis was surrounded by benches. In fact, the Gemara is going to say in a minute, it says this in many places in Shtas, it was stav lifnim mi stav. There were two rows of stone benches, and there was a little bit of an overhang on top of those benches. So if it was raining, for example, you'd be protected by whatever it was on top. Now, the Tana had told Rav Nachman that, you know where they used to lie the lulavim? Al gago itztaba, on top of the roof. Amaleis, Rav Nachman told him, v'chili yafshan hutzarech. Are these peiros? Are you trying to dry them? Meaning, when do you lay peiros out on the roof? When you want them to dry. Here you don't want them to dry. Rashi says, not only don't you want them to dry, it's not allowed to be dry, because a lulav ayavish is pasul. Lulav agosav ayavish pasul. So why would you do it there? Ela Amos, Rav Nachman told him, I think you have to edit the braisa. I don't think you're saying it over accurately, but rather al gav ha'itztaba. It was on top of the benches, which was underneath the gag. Not al gag ha'itztaba with a gimel, but al gav ha'itztaba with a vase. Amar Rechava, Amar Rav Yehuda. Rav Chava said in the name of Rav Yehuda, harabayis. The harabayis was stav kafel. It was surrounded by these double rows of benches, stav lifnim mistav. There was an outer one, and naturally there was an inner one. Either way, we're going to return to what was the topic of yesterday's daf, the second half of the topic of the previous daf, and that is the mitzvah of Arava. So at this point, I don't think the mitzvah of Arava needs much of an introduction, so we're going to jump in. So the Mishnah, mitzvah Arava Ketzad, how exactly did the mitzvah Arava take place in the Beis HaMikdash? There was a place that was south of Yerushalayim, Vinikra Moitza, and the place was called Moitza. That was the name of the geographic location. Yardun L'sham, they would go there. These were Shluchei Bezdin, Umalakta Mishan Murbiyo Shal Arava. And they would be Malakit, they would gather Aravais, Uban, and then they would come to the Beis HaMikdash, V'zoikfin Oysam B'tzidei HaMizbeach, and they would stand them up on the sides of the Mizbeach. V'rasheim Kfufin Al Gabi HaMizbeach. The heads of these Aravis had to be tipped on top of the Mizbeach. Tiku V'hariyu V'tiku. After they did this, they blew shofar, tkiya, trua, tkiya. B'chol yoyim makiv yitzah Mizbeach mamachas. Every day of Sukkot, they would be makiv the Mizbeach once. What did they do when they were makiv the Mizbeach? For Oimrim, and they would say, Ona Hashem Hoshiyono, Ona Hashem Atzlichono. Rabbi Yehuda, Oimrim, Rabbi Yehuda said, they would say, Ani V'hoi Hoshiyono, V'hoisei Ayoyim. But on that day, referring to the seventh day of Sukkot, referring to what we know as Hoshana Rabbah, makiv yitzah Mizbeach sheva pa'omim. They would be makiv the Mizbeach seven times. Rabbanan, when they were leaving the Mizbech, this is the last day of Sukkot, they're gezegenen sich with not just the Sukkah, but with the mitzvah of Dalad Minim and the mitzvah of Arava, the Ismachtam of Nei Hashem Elokeichem Shivas Yom. Mahi Noimrim, what would they say? Quote, Yoifi Lecha Mizbeach, how beautiful are you, Mizbeach? All the Yoifi is to you, Mizbeach. Yoifi Lecha Mizbeach, a second time. Rabbeleza says, they would say, Lecha Ulecha Mizbeach, Lecha Ulecha Mizbeach. They wouldn't only say Yoifi Lecha to the Mizbeach, but they would include a Kodesh Baruch Hu in it as well. Kmaseo Bechal, Kach Maseo Beshavas. The way Arava, the mitzvah was done during the week is the same way that it was done on Shabbos. Meaning, we saw in the Mishnah that the mitzvah of Arava was sometimes Doicha Shabbos. The seventh day of Sukkot, Arava was Doicha Shabbos. So the way Arava was done on Shabbos is the same way it was done during the week. Ella, there was one difference. Ordinarily, they would have fresh Aravas. So every day, for that day, the Shluchei Bezin would go to this place called Moitza. They would cut the Aravas and they would bring it up. So like this, they always had fresh Aravas. On Shabbos, you're not allowed to do that. Cutting the Aravas is not Doicha Shabbos. Mitzvah's Aravas Doicha Shabbos. But cutting the Arava obviously is not. And you couldn't bring it either because you're getting involved in Hoitzah problems. So what they would do is they would be Malakit at Erev Shabbos and they would place it in Gigiyoy Shalzav, in barrels made of gold. This is the beauty and the majesty of the Beis HaMikdash. They were made of gold. Kidesh Lo Yichmosh. But the point is not the gold, it's the water that's inside. They wanted to make sure that it wasn't going to dry. They would take branches of a dekel, the chayv tenoyis of the karka, and they would hit it on the ground. On the side of the mizbech, that day was called yom chibut charyas, the day that the branches were clapped on the floor. Then the Mishnah says they would take the lulavim away from the children. This is after the seventh day of Sukkot. So if you're young and vulnerable, some older, bigger person may come, grab away your lulav. Not just that, va'oichlenas esregeim, and eat their esregs. At first glance, this seems like a very interesting minig. You're stealing the lulavim and the esregeim from the children. So Rashi says right away, ve'ein bedavar, don't worry, meaning you can calm down. Loi mishum gezel, there's no gezel problem. Veloi mishum darke shalom, there's not even a darke shalom problem. The reason is shekach nagu machma simcha, because this was the minute. It was understood that this is what happened, and being that it was implied and understood that this is the way it happens, so as a result, there's no gezela problem. Additionally, there's no problem of darke shalom either. Either way, this is a fully loaded mishnah, and we're going to go through the gemaras now that are going to explain this mishnah. So number one, the mishnah said that the aravis that would taken for the mitzvah of Arava came from a place called Moitza. Tana, we learned in the Braisa. Mokim Kalanya Hava. This place, Moitza, was a Mokim Kalanya. Rashi says, Ben Chayrim min Amasha Melech. This was a tax exempt zone. This was a place where you didn't have to pay any taxes. So if you lived there, you were exempt from paying any mass to the government. Tana Didon says, the Gemara, my time you call it Moitza. Meaning, it doesn't sound like the name of the place was really Moitza. So why did he call it Moitza? Oh, based on the price we just mentioned, we can understand. Because I did the Mepik, Mikarga, the Malka, being that you didn't have to pay taxes in that area, Karle Moitza, therefore it was called Moitza. Moitza is Miloshen Yotza. He's pure, he's outside of the obligations that people usually have from having to pay the mass. Now, what's Pashup Shah? Why would they have Dafke taken the Aravos from a place that there was no Mas HaMelech? The reason is because we want to make sure that we're not using an Arava that's Gozel. Lulava Gozel, that was the name of the previous barak. So, ordinarily, if you're going to take it from somebody who maybe has a lien against it because of the fact that he owes taxes, so it could be, on some level, that would fall into the category of taking an Arava that's Gezula. That's a problem. So therefore, they dafka went to a place where they knew for sure this was Reina Arava. It's like this, they're not running into an issue of an Arava Gezula. Bon v'zoik v'noisoi b'tzidei ha-mizbech. The Mishnah said they would take these Aravas and they would stand them up on the sides of the Mizbech. Tana, we learned in a Braisa, Rabois v'aruchais. There were many. Some have the gears of Rakois. They were soft. V'aruchais, they were long. How long were they? Ugvayis achad esrei amah. They were 11 amas tall. So if an amah is 2 feet, these are 22-ish feet tall. Very, very large. And the reason was, Kadesh ye goichais al amizbeach amah. Because we wanted that the Aravais should be hovering over the Mizbech. And not just that, it should tip over the roof of the Mizbeach and go inwards and amla. And in order to be able to accomplish that, what you would need is, you would need that these aravas should be 11 amas tall. So the Gemara is going to do a little bit of math now. Mereimer said in the name of Marzucho, Shmami no, that you can infer from what this Bryce just said, that Ali Yisoid Monachlu. And when the Mishnah says they used to put it Bitsidi HaMizbeach, so it wasn't on the floor on the side of the Mizbeach, but it was on the Yisoid, on the foundation of the Mizbeach. And the reason is because it's only then that this is going to be possible. So the Gemara now is going to talk a little bit, very, very briefly, about the physical nature of the Mizbeach. So the Mizbeach was 10 amas tall. But the 10 amas of the Mizbeach was really made up of a few components. Number one, there was a foundation. The foundation was 1 amma tall. Then you had 5 amas. Then there were another 3 amas. What separated the 5 and the 3 was simply an indentation, what was known as the soiviv. So sometimes the kayhanim for certain avoiders would have to be standing on the soiviv for them to be able to do whatever they needed to do. And then on the top of the Mizbeach, on the four corners, there were the kronos of the Mizbeach, which were also an amatol. So if you take the 1 amma of Yisoid, the foundation, plus the 8 ammas of the actual Mizbeach, which is really made up of 5 and 3, interrupted by this indentation known as the soiviv, and then you have the kronos on top, what you can end up having is 10 amas. Now what we're trying to accomplish in this Gemara is we're taking the aravas, which we have a Mesorah, we're 11 amas tall, and what we're going to have is we're going to have them hover on top of the Mizbeach and go in at least an amma. So, Mirei Marsen, the name of Marzutra, the only way this is possible, if you understand the physical nature of the Mizbeach, and we take into account what this Bryce has said, 11 amas tall, hovering over 1 amma, is if we assume that the Aravos stood on the Yisoid of the Mizbeach, not on the ground. Why? Because if you're going to tell me that it was actually on the ground, how are you going to make this work? So the Gemara now is going to mention a Mishnah Masechtas Midos that describes the physical nature of the Mizbeach, what we just spoke at. So the Amma, the lowest Amma of the Mizbeach was the Yisoid. Vikonas Amma, meaning it was an Amma tall, and then there was an indentation that was 1 Amma. Zehu Yisoid. Olo Chamish, then it went up another 5 Ammas. Vikines Amma, there was an indentation. Zehu Soiviv. That area was called the Soiviv. Olo Sholish, it went up another 3 Ammas. Zehu Malkin Kronos, and that was the top of the Mizbeach, which is where the Kronos were. Now, if that's the case, Goichis al Gabi Mizbeach, Heichim Mishkachaslo. So how would it have been possible for an Arava that's standing on the floor to be able to bend over, hover on top of the Mizbeach, and be an Amma? It's not possible. Elolav Shmami, no, must be a Yisoid Manachlu, that it was standing on the Yisoid Shmamino, that's the only way to make it work. Now, there's a very long Rashi that explains Pashup Shad and what this Gemara means, but basically, the gist of what the Gemara is saying is that if you have an Arava that's 11 Amos, and it needs to be on, it has to go from the floor all the way to the top of the Mizbeach, and has to hover on top of it an Amma as well. So if the roof of the Mizbeach is 9 amas from the floor, it's 10 amas, but it's only 10 amas by the kronos. So really it's 9 amas, because no one says it has to be on top of the kronos, it just has to be on top of the Mizbeach. So what you now have is an 11 amma arava, you have your 9 amma Mizbeach, which means you have 2 amas to work with, right? But it has to hover in an amma, so you really have 1 amma to work with. Now here's the punchline. The punchline is because the roof was indented a little bit, because it indented an amma twice. It indented on the floor by the Yisoid. The Yisoid was an amma, indentation an amma, and then you start moving again, 5 ammas, and another indentation by the soiviv. So what's inevitably going to happen is it's going to have to be on a tilt. But it's going to have to be on a tilt where it's going to take up a little bit of more space in order to make up for the indentation. Now, you're living very dangerously because you have 11 ammas, your Mizbeach is 9 ammas, 1 amma it's going to have to bend in, you have 1 amma to play with, and that 1 amma somehow has to make up for the diagonal. Now, the truth is you can do it. You can make it work. The physics work. The problem is, and this is a knach that the Gemara doesn't speak out, that Rashi speaks out, is that the Gemara understood that the Arava wasn't supposed to touch the Mizbeach. So if it's not going to touch the Mizbeach, so it's not enough that it makes it to the top of the Mizbeach and it comes in. You need a little bit of extra room so that it won't even be touching the Mizbeach. It'll be hovering over the Mizbeach. It won't be touching the Mizbeach. It's impossible. You're just not playing with enough space over here. If, however, you would put it on the aside, so if you put it on the aside, so now from where the bottom of the Arava is until the top of the Mizbeach is not 9 Amis, it's only 8 Amis. So if I have an 11 Amah Arava and I have to get 8 Amis plus the extra Amah in, I have a little bit of a diagonal that I have to cover, but it's half the diagonal because now on top of the aside, the only indentation that I need to account for is the Amah of the Soiviv, that indentation. It's possible for it to be an Amah in, hover, not touch. You can check off all the boxes. So the Gemara just made one comment and said that based on the Braisa that said it was 11 Amas tall, must be that when they were Zoik from Betzidei HaMizbeach, they weren't putting it physically on the ground next to the Mizbeach, but rather they were putting it on top of the Yisoid. Amar Rabbevo said, my Kura, what's the Pasuk? I mean, is there a Pasuk that supports this idea? So the Gemara says, Shenemar, yeah, there is a Pasuk. Isru Chag Bavoisim at Karnes HaMizbeach. So we all know the Pasuk. Kei Lashem Vayoer Lanu, Isru Chag Bavoisim at Karnes HaMizbeach. And the Gemara's understanding this pasuk, Isru, is referring to a circle. Rashi says, where do you find that the word Isru means to circle? Isru Lagethen, Rashi says, is the Makar. But either way, pasuk in the Birchas Yaakov, so Isru means to circle. Bavoisim over here means trees or the Aravos at Karnes HaMizbeach, and we wanted to go to the top of the Mizbeach, meaning this is the Makar that the Aravos was supposed to make it to the top of the Mizbeach. So we just mentioned the Pasuk of Isru Chag Bavoisim at Karnes HaMizbeach. So the Gemara is going to digress for a moment. I'm Rabbevo, I'm Rabbe Loz. Rabbevo said the name Rabbe Loz. Kalanoito Lulav Ba'agudoy. If somebody takes a Lulav Ba'agudoy, meaning Lulav Tzarech Eged, and even if Lulav ain't Tzarech Eged, but Zekeli ve'anveu, there's a hider mitzvah to be ma'agei the lulav. So if somebody takes the lulav, the hadas, and the arava as they're bound together, the hadas ba'avoisoi. Additionally, he takes his hadas. Mala olav akosov, it's considered kilu bonim mizbeach, as if he built a mizbeach, vigor olav carbon, and he brought a carbon on it, shenemar, isru chag ba'avoisim at karnes ha'mizbeach. How we darsh it in the pasuk, isru chag is referring to the lulav. Isru over here means to tie. So isru means to tie the lulav, the hadas, and the arava together. But avoisim, that's the anaf eitz avois. That's referring to the hadas. If somebody takes his lulav, what is it like? It's at karnes hamizbeach. It's as if Rashi says, kimatan domim shebekarbonis hamizbeach. Not just mizbeach. It's as if you did a zrika. It's as if you put dam on top of the mizbeach. So this is another pshat in isru chag bavoisim at karnes hamizbeach. This Gemara would seem to be exhibit A for the raid that we spoke about last week, the ritva on daftes and the ritva on the sugya of mitzvah baba aveira, that the dalet minim isn't just a mitzvah, but the dalet minim is a meratzah, it's like a carbon, and that's why you have mitzvah baba aveira, said the ritva, by dalet minim, even though you don't have it by sukkah, you don't have it by matzah shel tevel, because you only have it dumi the carbon, the makar to mitzvah baba aveira is carbon, so if you have a mitzvah that's similar to a carbon, you can have mitzvah baba aveira. This is mamash mefurish gemara. Amar Rabbevo, Amar Rabbe Loz, Kol Anoito Lulav Ba'Agudai, V'Hadas Ba'Avoisai, Ma'alo Olav Akosov, Kilu Bonam Mizbeach, V'Hikr of Olav Carbon, and Rashi says, Kematan Domim Shebe Karbonez HaMizbeach. It's a Ke'ilu Gemara, but it's pretty checkmate. V'Chura, the aside of the Ritva, Amar Rabbi Yirmiya, Mishum Rab Shim Ba'Yichot, Rabbi Yirmiya said the name of Shim Ba'Yichot, Rabbi Yochanan said this Mishum Rab Shimin HaMechoizi, who said it Mishum Rabbi Yochanan HaMakusi, Kol Ha'is Isser L'Chag, he said a third pshat in the pasuk Isru Chag Ba'Voisim at Karnes HaMizbeach. He said, if somebody makes an Isser L'Chag, so this is an interesting word, usually you think of an Isser, you think of Issa Vaheta, you think of thou shall not. That's what an Issa usually is. So Issa over here, Rashi says, means Aguda Lechag. If somebody attaches himself to the Yontif, Bachila Vishtiya, with eating and drinking. So you attach yourself to the Yontif. You make yourself a mechutin with the Yontif. You celebrate the Yontif. And the way you do it is with Achila and Shtiya, Mal Olav Akosav, it's considered Ke'ilu, another Ke'ilu, Bona Mizbeach. You built a Mizbeach, Vehikrival of carbon, you brought a carbon, Shenemar, Isru Chag, Bavoisim, at Karnes HaMizbeach. So how are we teaching? Isru Chag. If someone attaches himself to the Yontif, Ba'avoisim means, Rashi, Behemois, Avois, Ushmeinois. If somebody attaches himself to the Yontif with Dikka behemoth, with fatty meats. So it's at Karnes HaMizbeach, it's Mala Olav Akosav, Kilo Hikruv Karman. If you look at Rashi, Dibra Maskol, Bachila Vishtiya, so it's the third line on top. So Rashi then brings another pshat. First pshat is Bachila Vishtiya, what we just said. Shekira L'chag Oineg B'maychlo B'mishta, V'yesh Oimrim, Yoim Shala Achra Achag. That what we're referring to is not someone that eats and drinks on Yontif. That's easy. That is a mitzvah of a Samachta B'chagecho, Ain't Simchala B'basa, Ramam says Ain't Simchala B'basa V'yayim. But rather what this is referring to is it's referring to the day after Yontif. Yontif. And that's the Isru Chag. The Isru Chag is you're attaching another day to the Yontif. So it's not just Yontif, but it's Isru Chag. You're adding another day. And how you're adding it? By Vaisim, by Chila Vishtiya, Shekoyra L'Chag Oynik, B'maychlo B'mishta, but not Yontif, the day after Yontif. So what happens if somebody takes the day after Yontif and he makes it into a Yontif day? He doesn't treat it like a Yom Chol. It's Ma'ala Olav HaKosov, Kilubona Mizbeach, V'hikriv Olav Karban. And the truth is, this second shot that Rashi brings is the makar to the concept. It's also the makar to the term of Isru Chag. So you see this idea of Isru Chag, it's the third pshat in the Gemara, the second pshat in Rashi, in the third pshat in the Gemara, in a pasuk of Kei Lashem Vayor Elonu Isru Chag Bavoyis Makarnes HaMizbech. But what's the context? So what happens on Isru Chag? Doesn't say you don't say Tachnon. I mean, that also, but that's not the essence of what the day is. What is the essence of Isru Chag? The essence is Ba'avoysen, Shekoyre, Oineg, B'maychalu, B'mishto. And the truth is, if you look in the Ramah, where he brings the halach of Isru Chag, and it's at the very beginning of Hilchas Pesach, it's in Simen Tov, Chof Tes, says the Ramah, V'noyagin laharbois k'tzas, Ba'achilo v'shtiyo, B'yoyim achar achag, V'hu Isru Chag. That's what Isru Chag is. Isru Chag is ba'voisim. It's ba'achilu v'shtiyo. And that's exactly the way the Ramah presents the halacha. Zok de Gemara. Omar Chizkiyo, Omar Rabbi Yirmi, Mishum Rashbi. Kol ha-mitzvah is kulon. Ein ha-dem yoytzim ha-melo derech gedolsim. All mitzvahs. Anytime you do a mitzvah with something that grows, you have to be holding the thing derech gedolsim. Shenema, the pasuk says, atzei shitim oimdim. So this is referring to the crush and the beams of the Mishkan. They were atzei shitim. And the pasuk says, oimdim. So what does oimdim mean? It has to be derech gedolsim. Now the reason we're bringing this here is because this has very much to do with Dalet Minim. Dalet Minim are all things that grow. And we learn from here that the Dalet Minim have to be held when you yoytze the mitzvah, derech gedilasa. Very important halacha. Zok de Gemara, atzei shittim oimdim, another pshat, in atzei shittim oimdim, oimdim shemamidin es sipuyeyen. That you have to make sure that the atzei shittim were done in a way where they caused their covering to stand. Meaning, the atzei shittim were wood, shittim holtz, but they were covered with gold. So what the Bryce is saying is that the gold had to be attached to the atzei shittim so that the wood was supporting the gold, so to speak, as opposed to in the reverse. Davar Acher, third shot. What does it mean? Atzei shittim oimdim. Shem atoymer avet sivrenu batitzikuyon. What the pasuk was coming to say was that the Yidin had atzei shittim in the Mishkan, and it was a concern that maybe at some point the atzei shittim would be taken away by the enemies of the Jews. Maybe Nebuchadnezzar, when he destroyed the first Beis Hamikdash, was going to run off with the atzei shittim. Maybe Antiochus during the little Churban that happened during Tkufas Bayesheni, or maybe by Churban Bayesheni, the Romans were going to walk off with Atzei Shittim. So there was a haftach in the pasuk that says Atzei Shittim Oimdim Sha Oimdim La Oilam Ula Omei Oilamim. Anything that Moshe Rabbeinu made was never taken away. A nice Mar Makom on this is the Sefarna in the beginning of Parashas Pekudei for another day. Amar Chizki, Amar Rabbi Yirmiyah, Mishum Rashbi. Another thing that Chizki said in the name of Rabbi Yirmiyah, who said in the name of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. So we're digressing, and it's always geschmack to follow the paper trail when the Gemara does a digression. So we just mentioned something that Chizkiyah said in the name of Rabbi Yirmiyah, in the name of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Now, it was related to Atzei Shittim, but it had halachic ramifications in Hilchas Dalet Minim. The halacha was, Kol ha-mitzvahs kulon, ein adam yoytze behen ela derech gedilasan. So we mentioned one thing, we're going to mention another. So again, Chizkiyah said in the name of Rabbi Yirmiyah, who said in the name of the Tana Rashbi, Yochlan yilifter as kol ha-ilam kulam en adin. So this is a fascinating Gemara. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai said that I have the ability, so Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai talking, to patter the entire world min hadin. From the day that I was born, ad ata, up until now. So what does this even mean? So Rashi says, quote, b'schusi, in my schus, ani soivel kol avoinoseya, I am somehow bearing the sins of all the Jews, upaitra min hadin, and by doing that, I could patter them min hadin. And then Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai continued. He said, v'lmoli Elazar b'ni imi, if my son Elazar will carry some of the burden with me, as in Rabbi Elazar b'Rabbi Shimon, then I'll be able to pater not only the people miyoyim shenivrei adata from the day that I was born up until now, but rather miyoyim shenivra ha'olam fiyad achshav. V'mole yoysam ben uziyo imanu. And he said, if yoysam ben uziyo would be together with us, miyoyim shenivra ha'olam, then we'd be able to literally pater the avoyness of every single yin, every single aver that was done from the day of Briyas ha'olam ad yom hazeh. So who was yoysam ben uziyo? Rashi just gives a very, very short eulogy. Tzadik hayah, V'onav yoiser mishar melachim v'zocha b'kibud aviv. And his big mitzvah that he did was kibud av. V'olav nemar ben yichabed av. So you see what kibud av is. Yoisam and Uziyo, who was in the conversation, were Abshim by Choy and his son. The three of them together, these three tzaddikim, this is way above our pay grade, but had the ability to be pater kol ha'olam kulam min adin, Rishim ba'yechai, you know the Tana Rashbi, Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon, who was Yosem ben Uziyo, tzaddik v'onav, Yosem mishar malachim, he was one of the kings, v'zocha b'kibud av, that was his big mitzvah. Amar Chizkiya, Amar Rabbi Yirmiyah, Mishum Rashbi, another memory, Isi b'nei Aliyah, they mu'atin. So Rabbi Shimon ba'yechai said, I saw b'nei Aliyah, meaning I saw people that are steiging. But I also realize v'hem mu'atim. They're few and far in between. So what exactly does b'nei Aliyah mean? Again, k'day to see Rashi inside. Dibra maskul ro'isi b'nei Aliyah v'hem mu'atim. Rashi says, kat ha-mekablim p'nei shechina mu'atim. The group of people that are able, they have the credentials to be makabel the p'nei shechina, it's very, very few people. And then Rabbi Shimon Ba'yechai continued. He said, im elefim, if there are 1,000 people that could do it, ani b'ni mehem, me and my son are two of them. Im mehem, if there are 100, ani b'ni mehem, meaning we're in the top 100. And then he continued, he said, in shnayim hein, if there are only two, ani b'ni mehem, the two would be me and my son, Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon. Faith, Gemara, Mizra, Chukuli, Hai. Is that possible? So few people that have the ability to Mekabel Pnei Shechina. Amar Rava. Rava said, Tam Yisri, Alfi, Dara, Hava, Dekami, Kutcha, Berichu. There's a row of 18,000 tzaddikim that sit in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shenema, the Pasuk says, Sovav, Shmoyna, Asar, Elef, in which we understand to mean 18,000 tzaddikim, and they're all sitting in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it sounds like they're being Mekabel Pnei Shechina. The Gemara says, like Kasha, Hodem Mistakli, Baspaklaria, Hameira, Hodeloi Mistakla, Baspaklaria, Hameira. Different levels of being makabel the Pnei Shechina. Yeah, there are 18,000 people, or some have the gear say 18,000 rows of people that could be makabel Pnei Shechina. But when they're makabel Pnei Shechina, it's baspaklaria she'ena mi'ira. Rashi says there's a mechitza that's choytzeitz between them and between the Shechina. So they see it, but they see it through a screen. They don't see it clearly, but Rabbi Shimon Ba'yechai and his son Elazar, they were able to see Bastaklaria Meira. They were able to see in high definition. They were able to see clearly. And said Rabbi Shimon Ba'yechai, very, very few Bnei Aliyah. Very few people that are able to be Mekab Bnei Shechina, Bastaklaria Meira. Says, I don't know how many they are, but I will tell you, me and my son are two of them. And if there's only two people in the whole world, the whole universe, it's us too. Obviously, these are Gemaras that are Einoi Oimer Eladir Shuni. The Gemara continues, and the Gemara says, could this be? Meaning, it's only two. Even Nochtes Cheshbin from Rabbaya. Abaya said, Leipachas Almi Mitalsim Veshita Tzadiki. We know that at any given time, the world has 36 Tzadikim. So the Makar to the Lamed Vav Tzadikim is a Gemara. It's a Gemara Mesech Tesukah, Daf Mem Hei Amid Beis. You know who said it? Abaya said it. And Abaya had a Makar to it. Shenemer Ashrei Kol Choy Cheiloi. Praise to all the people that are Mechaka, the people that wait for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it says, Loi, Loi Mitavov, Lamed Vav Begamachi. Talsim Veshita Hava. So you see, how many Choy Chei Loi are there? There are 36 tzaddikim. So again, it certainly sounds like there are more people that are Mekabel Pnei Shechina. And the Gemara says, like, Kash, again, you have to say there's different levels. Hada Aili Bebar, Hada Aili Beloi Bar. There are people that can enter, but they need Rishus to enter. And that Abaya said every generation has 36, who it sounds like can see Baspaklaria Hameira, but at the same time, they need Rishus to be able to enter this Mechitza where they're going to be Mekabel Pnei Shechina. However, Rabbi Shimon Ba'yechai was talking about was when he said Bnei Aliyah that are mu'atim, these are people that are able to enter these grace mechitzes even without Rishus and to be able to see Baspaklaria Meira. That he said is mu'atim. He says, I don't know how many they are, but I know for sure me and my son, which means if there's two, me and my son are going to be those two exiles. So today's daf is a very geshmaka daf, a lot of divrei halacha and divrei agada in today's daf, but the theme of the last few dafin has been the mitzvah of Arava v'mlo yachshav emasai. So just to talk a little bit about the mitzvah of Arava and specifically the day of Hoshana Rabbah. So the topic of the last few days has been the mitzvah of Arava. And one thing was clear, and that is that the mitzvah of Arava was different on the seventh day of Sukkot than it was the other days. We learned the Mishnah in today's daf and daf mem hey amad aleph. B'chol yoyim, every single day, they were makif the mizbeach with the aravos one time. But on the seventh day, they were makif 7 times. We saw the Mishnah at the very beginning of the parak. The Mishnah said, Arava Shisha V'Shiva. Sometimes Arava was Daicha Shabbos, sometimes Arava wasn't Daicha Shabbos. What did it depend on? The 7th day of Sukkot, then Arava's Daicha Shabbos. Any other day of Sukkot, Arava's not going to be Daicha Shabbos. So clearly there's something special about Arava, and there's something special about the 7th day of Sukkot. So the truth is, this is really two parts, and the Gemara is still going to talk about it a little bit, but just to talk a little bit about the 7th day of Sukkot. So we're discussing here the 7th day of Sukkot, specifically as it relates to the mitzvah of Arava. The Mechaber in Hilchas Lulav, and this is Simon Tovresh Samech Dalet, Sivkon Aleph, says as follows, B'yoyim Shvi, on the 7th day of Sukkot, Shehu Hishana Rabbah, says the Shulchan Aruch, which is the day that's known as Hishana Rabbah, Noyagin Laharbois B'mizmoyrim K'may B'yantav. The meaning is to be marba b'mizmoyrim during davening. There's an Indian to have zmirois, to sing songs, just like we do on Yantif. The Ramah says, uva'oimrim, just, it's a long Ramah, but just a few excerpts, kaddish ala'achat filas musaf b'nigin Yantif. The minig is that after you finish davening musaf on Hoshana Rabbah, the way you do every single day of Sukkot, but you say a nigin, and the nigin should be a Yantif digin nigin. Additionally, v'ein regilin lasis malacha shel chol, you try not to do any malach in the morning, ad achi yitziya mi beis haknesses, until after you leave the beis haknesses. Going back to the Mechaber says, on this day, umar bin k'tzas b'neiros, you should be mar bin k'tzas b'neiros, as an Indian to light candles, k'may b'yayim ha-kipurim, just like we do on Yom Kippur. The Ramah says, "V'amidaktik, and people that are medaktik, noyagin litval atzmin koydem alois hashachar. Before alois hashachar, they wake up early, k'moy be'erv Yom Kippurim, and they go to the mikvah." The Ramah continues and says, "V'yesh noyagin lilbosh hakittel, k'moy be'erv Yom Kippurim." There are people that have a minig that on Hoshana Rabbah they wear a kittel. So the Mechaber and the Ramah talking about minhagim, they keep on saying the word noyagin, right? Every single time, noyagin laharbeis bin mizmoyrim. Umarbim, Vamedaktik, Noyagin, Viesh, Noyagin, these were all menhagim. But they were menhagim in Klal Yisrael, Minig Yisrael Torah, that on Eshana Rabbah, on some level, the day was treated like Yontif. Not only was it treated like Yontif, but it was treated like Yom Kippur, like the Yom HaKadosh. So you have the Mechaber that says that people used to sing Mizmoirim. The Ramah says that the Nigin of Kaddish after Tfilas Musaf should be the Yontif Digam Nigin. The Ramah says, don't do malacha in the morning until you finish davening on Hoshana Rabbah. Yontif, you don't do malacha. It's not even Yontif, but you shouldn't do malacha. Umar bin k'tzas b'neiros k'may b'yom ha-kippurim. The Ramah says, go to the mikveh before you daven. It's Erev Yom Kippur. Wear a kittel, because on Yom Kippur you wear a kittel. So you have this idea that on some level, Hoshana Rabbah is treated like Yontif, and simultaneously, on some level, Hoshana Rabbah is treated like Yom Kippur. So the question is, why? So the Mechaber continues, and the Mechaber gives us the punchline. Lefi says the Shulchan Aruch, Shebechag nidoinim alamayim. Because on Sukkot, the world is judged. It's judged al hamayim. All the water of the world is judged on Sukkot. And because all the water of the world is judged on Sukkot, therefore treat it like a yontif, therefore treat it like Yom Kippur. Now, the first question is that if the world is judged alamayim on Sukkot, l'chura, that means every single day of Sukkot, there's a judgment. And if the judgment on some level begets a minhagim of Yontif and minhagim of Yom Kippur, so why do we only do it on the 7th day of Sukkot? We should do it every day of Sukkot. So the Taz says right away, the reason is, v'akol hoylech achar hachitum. The reason is because this is the last day. And because this is the last day, hakol oylech achar hachitum, and that's why it's on the last day, this is the way we do it. So we know Hoshana Rabbah is a little bit of a confusing day. Hoshana Rabbah is Chol HaMoed. It's no different than the 2nd, 3rd, 4th, 5th, 6th, and 7th day of Sukkot. It's a day of Chol HaMoed. It's not Yontif. There's no Issa Malacha. You don't daven a Yontif to get davening. It is Chol HaMoed. But at the same time, the Shulchan Aruch says there were minhagim amongst the Kadmoinim, going back to the Rishonim and the Goinim, where on some level they would treat it like Yontif. Not only would they treat it like Yontif, they would even treat it a little bit like Yom Kippur. So based on that, if we're treating it like Yontif, we treat it like Yom Kippur. What's the Pshat? Like, what's Posh Pshat in this? Says the Shulchan Aruch, I'm going to tell you Pshat. This is the Beis Yosef talking. The reason is, because the world is judged on Sukkot. It's judged Alamayim, and because it's judged Alamayim, therefore we treat it like Yontif, and therefore we treat it a little bit like Yom Kippur. So of course, this is very much Tzorich Bir. So just explain, Posh Pshat, what's going on over here. The Mishnah says in Masechtas Rosh Hashanah Daf Tezayin Amud Aleph, Barba Prokim Ha'olam Nidain. There's four times here that the world is judged. B'Pesach Al Atfuah. On Pesach, the world is judged for its Tfuah. The Tfuah of the world is judged on Pesach. B'Atzeres on Shvuas Al Peres Ilan. B'Rosh Hashanah Kol Boy Olam Even Lefan of Kivnei Mare. Shenemar Yotze Yachal Liban Ameven Al Kol Basem. U'Bechag says the Mishnah Nidainim Alamai. So we're familiar with the judgment, the Yom Hadin, which is on Rosh Hashanah. But really, the Mishnah says Barba Prokim Olam Nidain. There are four times that the world is judged. Pesach for the Tfuah, Shavuos for the Peres Ilan, Rosh Hashanah, that's the grace of Yom Adin, Kol Boi Yoylam, Ovram Lefon of Kivnei Marim, Ubechag, and on Sukkis, Nidayna Malamai. But the point is, Sukkis is one of the Yemei Hadin. Sukkis is one of the Yemei Hadin. Now, Sukkis is 7 days long, but Akoil Hoylech Acher Achitum, like the Taz says. So at the end of the day, Hoshana Rabbah, the seventh day, is the Ikur day, if you're going to talk about the judgment of the Mayim. B'milam Acherim, it's the Ne'ilah of the judgment alamayim, and that's why we treat it a little bit like Yontif, and we treat it a little bit like Yom Kippur. But it's still Tzarech Bir. What is the fact that the world is being judged now on water have to do with this idea that because of that we should treat it a little bit like Yontif, and because of that we should treat it a little bit like Yom Kippur? So the Vilna Gaon in the Bir Agron, this halacha says, Ayin Yalkit Shemoyni, this is in Parshas for Aschanon, it's always tough, tough, chof hey. So the Yalkut Shemayni says as follows. Rab Chanin of Rabbi Shaya said, Umi goy gadol asher lo yalikim kroven eilav. Quote, Eizoi uma ku uma zu. A well-known chazal. Which nation is like Kla Yisrael? She yoydas ufya shal eleka. Because Kla Yisrael knows the ufya of eleka. So what does ufya mean? The minhag. We understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it's nicker in the way we behave. How? If a person knows that he has a judgment day, he's going to wear dark clothing, he's going to grow his hair, he's not going to cut his nails, because he's in a state of mourning, he's nervous, he's scared. Yisrael is not that way. They wear white clothing, and they cover themselves with white clothing, they take haircuts, umechatchen tzipornei, v'oichlen v'shoysen, usmeichem b'Rosh Hashanah. L'fi sh'yoydin sh'akadosh baruch hu oysen lehem nisim, u'moytzei dinam l'kav schos, v'koyrei lehem gzar dinam. And that's the pshat, ki migoy gadol, asher loye leikim kreivim elov, that we're so close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we know that even though we're living dangerously by doing this, literally, by going and acting on Rosh Hashanah as if it's a yontif, because the truth, let's be honest, it's a yoy madin. Aber migoy gadol, asher loye leikim kreivim elov, and we understand that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has our best interest in mind, and even though sometimes we don't understand it, but at the end of the day, we understand that, and therefore we celebrate Rosh Hashanah. We celebrate it as if it's a yontif. So said the Malagoyan, you see from this Yalkut Shemayni that every single Yom Adin is a yontif. So if every single Yom Adin is a yontif, so really on a Yom Adin you have to celebrate yontif. So says the Goyan, okay, what are the Yom Adin? Rosh Hashanah? Rosh Hashanah is a yontif. Pesach? Pesach is a yontif. Now, the truth is, Pesach has days of Chol HaMoed. Not every day is a yontif, but the first day of Pesach is a yontif. And Akol Hoylech Acher Achisum, the last day of Pesach, Shvi Yishol Pesach, is a yontif. Shavuos is a yontif. The only Yom HaDin, which is not inherently a yontif, is Sukkos. The first day is, but the last day is not. And I call Hoylech Acher Achisum. So the Ne'ilah of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, of course, is a Yontif. The Ne'ilah of Pesach, that's Shvi Yishol Pesach. The Ne'ilah of Shavuos is Yontif. Oh, but the Ne'ilah from Sukkos is Nish Yontif. The Ne'ilah of Sukkos is the seventh day of Sukkos, which is the sixth day of Chol HaMoed, fifth day in Chutz La'aretz, but it's not Yontif. So because it's a Yom Hadin, and Ezehu Uma. So we need to make it into a yontif. This is the Yalkut Shemayni. We have to show that we know it's a Yom Adin today. And Afal Pikin, we're going to celebrate as a yontif. But it's not yontif. So you can't just make a yontif. That's Bal Toysef. We can create Yomim Toivim. The Chasam Sofer would say Chodesh Asim and Atayr if you wanted to make it into a yontif. But at the same time, Noyagim Nihugim of yontif. That, yeah. And that's why you have all these Minhogim of yontif. And the idea is based on this Yalkut Shemayni. What does that have to do with Yom Kippur? Oh, it's a Yom Adin. So it's a Yom Adin. And because of Yom Adin, therefore it has a Shaychus Yom Kippur as well. This is what the Vilna Gaon wrote in his Bir Agra. This is the Poshe Pshat in the Hoshana Rabbah. And the reason Hoshana Rabbah is a Shtikl Yontif is if somebody says, what's Hoshana Rabbah? It's a Shulchan Aruch. It's Halach and Shulchan Aruch. It's Simen Reish, Tof Reish Samich Dalet, Sif Kotten Aleph. Hoshana Rabbah is all about Shebechag nidoinim alamai. But it's yodua that in the Zohar HaKadosh, the day of Hashana Rabbah is a completely, completely different Indian. And the day of Hashana Rabbah is Rava de Rabban. Just to read just a few lines in the Zohar. The Zohar is in Parshas Tzav, and the Zohar says, quote, B'yoyim ha-shviyah d'chag, on the seventh day of Sukkis, hu siyuma d'dina d'alma. This is the siyum of all the dinim in the world. Meaning, B'rosh Hashanah yikaseifun, u'b'yoyim tzom kippur yechaseimun. So the Yom HaDin starts in Rosh Hashanah, and it goes through Yom Kippur. Says the Zohar HaKadosh, that's al derech ha-nigla. But really, al derech ha-nistar, the Yom HaDin doesn't end by Ne'ilah. It goes through Vehu Rachum. It goes through the 4 days that are between Yom Kippur and Sukkot. It goes through the first day of Sukkot. It goes through Chol HaMoed. And it goes all the way till Hashanah Rabbah. Hashanah Rabbah, the seventh day of Sukkot, that's Siyuma Dedina Da'alma. That's when all the dinim stop. U'piskin nafkin mi'me'am. So what happens on that day? The piskin, the kvittel. The piska comes, mibei malka, comes from the king, ugvura mitari. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, on Rosh Hashanah, writes the din. On Yom Kippur, signs the din. So there's a din, but it's still sitting somewhere in the genozim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it stays there until Hashanah Rabbah. Hashanah Rabbah, the Ebeshter takes it, he gives it to the Shluchei Bezdin, gives it to the Malachim and the Srofim and the Ifani HaKadosh, and he hands it to them and he says, okay, it's time to execute. It's time to go. This is what happened in Rosh Hashanah. This is what was signed on Yom Kippur. And now's the time to disseminate this. This is Lamaisa. This is game on. Now you take the piskin and you're supposed to go. On that day, it's all over. So because of that, this is when Chalila, any din that was Nigzar in the beginning of the year, is actually going to play itself out for real. Ugvura Mitari. So there's this unbelievable hysteris of din in the world. So the Yidden, we need to do something because we have to figure out a way to counter everything that's happening. So somehow, in a mystical way, the Arava has the ability to be mantic all this and has the ability to somehow counter what's going on. So what we do is we take the Arve Nachal, ubi'inan las orig vuran lamaya, which has to do with water, ulasachrin zayin zimnin, and we will makiv the mizbech 7 times, l'ravo l'haim mizbech mimaya de Yitzchak. This is so above my pay grade, but this is basically what's going on, that there's some idea of this is what's happening. Then the Zohar says, b'hai yoy mikseve, it was regarding that day that the Pasuk says, v'yoshav Yitzchak, v'yachbar es beres hamayim. Yitzchak, we know, was midas adin, and it was on that day that it was v'yoshav Yitzchak, that the din stopped. It was Vayoshev Yitzchak. This is when the Midas Din all comes to an end. But the bottom line is, again, it just goes on and on and on in the Zohar. But the idea is, the gist is that Hashanah Rabbah, the seventh day of Sukkot, isn't just the Yom HaDin of the Mayim, and it isn't just based on the Yalkut Shemayim, like the Bir Agra said, Ezo Uma Ku'uma Zushi Edas Ufya Chel Malka. It's not just that. It's a day that's very much a hemshech. It's a day that's very much a continuation. It's very much a continuation of the Yemei HaDin. So this is a fascinating concept where you find Al Derech Nigla, Hashanah Rabbah means one thing, and Al Derech Nister, Hashanah Rabbah seems to be another thing. Meaning, you learn the Gemara in Masechtas Rosh Hashanah. The Gemara says, "Rosh Hashanah Yechaseivun, ubiyoyim tzom kippur yechaseivun." There's no mention of Hashanah Rabbah. We just learned the Gemara about Hashanah Rabbah. Hashanah Rabbah, there was a mitzvah varova. It seems to go in line with the lukachtam lechem b'yemirish and priyets other karpas. Arvei loshin rabbim. Arovas maybe Rabbi Yochanan said halacha lemoishim yisinai, but this was a mitzvah that was done in the Beis Hamikdash. There was nisach hamayim that was done on. So every yontif had its own nuances and things that were done. So there was a mitzvah called Arava, probably related to Chag HaOsif, right? This is what's going on right now. But in Kabbalah, and it really starts from the Zohar, and in all the Chassidish Svarim, this is like from the most common themes in Chassidish Svarim, and that is Hashanah Rabbah isn't just a day of Sukkot, but rather it's a continuation on some level to what happened on Rosh Hashanah, to what happened on Yom Kippur. What happens specifically? What happens is the piskin that are having it written, what was written on Rosh Hashanah, what was signed in Yom Kippur, are disseminated. They're given to the Shluchim, and now the Shluchim have the ability to go and start executing on it. And that's why in Hashanah Rabbah, you didn't say Piskatava, get the Kvittel, because that's what's happening. It's based on a Lashon in the Zohar HaKadosh, a Zohar in Parshas. This is just a Pashup Shah in what Hashanah Rabbah is. There's a Rabbeinu Bechaya in Parshas V'Zoy Sabrocha. So the Rabbeinu Bechaya is on the pasuk that says Vayar Reishis Loi Kisham Chelkas Mechoykek Safon Vayesei Rosh Hayam Tzidkas Hashem Aso U Mishpatav Im Yisrael. So Rabbeinu Bechaya, Ayin Sham, Toich Dvarav, he starts talking about different things that you find were referred to as Gadol. So he says, quote, Umikan yesh lecha v'hisoyrer b'kisvei ha-kodesh pa'oisen dvarim shenikru b'shem gadol. There's certain things that you find in kisvei ha-kodesh and in Chazal that they were referred to as gadol. Ke'inyin beis ha-mikdash, the beis ha-mikdash shenikru gadol. Shenemar, that's called beis gadol saraf ba'esh, referring to churban beis ha-mikdash. But it was called gadol. V'chein ha-oyved ha-mesharis sham. The oyved ha-mesharis, who was he called? The highest ranking kohen was the ha-kohen ha-gadol. V'chein ha-nar sheba'eretz Yisrael. Was Nikra Hanor Hagodol Nahar Peros. The Shechein Hashem Hagodol Shakoin Gadol Oyved Lefanov. The Shem Hagodol that resided in the Beis Hamikdash was as Kol Masay Hashem Hagodol. The Shechein Hashakoin Chachmei HaEmes Loshin Rabba. Wherever you find that the Chachmei HaEmes referring to Chazal, whenever they use the word Rabba, what does Rabba mean? Who Targum Shal Gadol. It's the Targum of the word Gadol. Ke'inyim B'Kaddish. Like you find by Kaddish, where you say, Amen Yeheshmei Rabba Mevarach. What does Rabba mean? It's the Loshin of Gadol. Brachas Daf Gimel Amud Aleph. V'chein Yehesh Shlama Rabba. V'chein Kiddush Hayem Shekoyim Kiddusha Rabba. V'loichein Shal Laila. V'chein Birkas Hayem Shal Ahav Asoilam Avtanu. Shekoyim Ahav Rabba. V'loichein Shal Shachris. V'chein, says Rabbeinu Bechaya, another place where you find this idea of God, we're going to get to the punchline, is L'yom Shvi Shal Arava. The seventh day of Arava. What's it referred to? The seventh day of Sukkot? It's called Hoshana Rabba. This is also called Gadol. It's called Hoshana Rabba. So what does this all mean? He says, you find all these days that they're referred to as Gadol. So what does it mean when you talk about Gadol? So he says that Gadol is related with the idea of Shem Yudke Vavke, and Gadol is related to the Spitz of Ashrois Ashchina. And every single time you find the word Gadol, on some level, what you're dealing with is the spitz of Ashrois Hashchina. So says the Rabbeinu Bechaya, this is what we need. So why would a Shana Rabba be called a Shana Rabba? Rabba's Gadol, we're making this whole big deal about what Gadol is. So why would it be called a Shana Rabba? He says something fascinating. And certainly fascinating in light of Raid that we've spoken about. Lefi Shehu Tashlum Esrim V'Shisha Yomim Shebibriya Sa'ilam. He says because a Shana Rabba, if you do the math, is the 26th day from Bria Sa'ilam. Why? Because the world was created on Chaf Elo. And because the world was created on Chaf Elo, if you count 26 days from Chaf Elo, you know what you're going to get to? You're going to get to Hoshana Rabba. You're going to get to Chaf Aleph Tishrei. The reason it's called Hoshana Rabba is because Rabba is the Shem HaGadol. What's Gadol? That's Yud Kei Vav Kei. Hoshana Rabba is 26 days from Bria Sa'ilam. So what's 26 have to do with Avaya? It's the Gematria. The Gematria of Yud Kei Vav Kei is Chavav. It's 26. So there's a remez in Hoshana Rabba. It's the 26th day from Bria Sa'ilam. Maha Keshner. Because it's Rabba as in the Rabba of the Shem HaGadol of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is the Gematria of Avaya, and that's the 26 days. So it's half of a fella. We spoke about how the Dalad Minim is the way the Taz brings it from the Beis Yosef, brings it from the Rekanti. It's taking the four Minim, which represent the four Oisniyas of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kumbavua B'Medrash Rabba, Kapis Tomorim is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Anafi Yitzov is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Priya Yitzov is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's all HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we take them and mechaber them together. And that's why you have to make sure B'Shastin Anuim, that you don't only have the Eged of the Lulav, but you have the Estrik, which is together with the Lulav. And that was Neskala to the Rekanti in the dream, when he had the dream of this Yid, Reb Yitzchak, who was spending Sukkot by him, and he saw in a dream, he was a Sofer O Yud Kei Vav, and then he had the Hay somewhere else. And he understood that the four Minim of the Lulav are really representing the four Oisiyas of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And what we need to do is we need to be mechaber, then we need to bring them together. Because that, so he said, if that's the case, this idea of taking the lulav is mamish to Amen Yehesh Mei Rabba of the Machzeh Vitri. What's Amen Yehesh Mei Rabba? So can you do it? There's two pshatim of what it means. But Tosis brings in Brachas Gimel Amud Aleph in the name of the Machzeh Vitri, and the Torah brings it in Eruv Chaim as well, that it's a tefillah, that Amen Yehesh Mei Rabba, the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, should be Rabba. What does it mean should be Rabba? It should be whole. It should be complete. It should be Yud Kei Vav Kei B'Shlei Musay. That's what it is. It shouldn't be chas the way he is chasser in the world right now. But rather it should be Amen Yehesh Mei Rabba. So when we take the Dalet Minim, what are we doing? We're saying Amen Yehesh Mei. Every single day in the Beis HaMikdash, that's what they used to do. Every day they would take the Dalet Minim, and it was Ashrei HaMelech Shemekalsen Oysa Beveisoy Kach. And it was done in the Beis HaMikdash, because that's the Mokim of Amen Yehesh Mei Rabba. Kimavur in the Gemara, Brachas Gimel Amen. We don't have to chazer all the raid. But on the seventh day, this is the culmination. It's the culmination of Dalet Minim, it's the culmination of Arava, but it's also a culmination of the proclamations that the Yidden were making of Amen Yeheshmei Rabba, the entire Sukkot. So what happened on the culmination of that day? What happened on that very last day? That very last day, there was this tremendous makif in the Mizbeach. According to one man, they weren't even makif the Mizbeach with Arava. They were makif the Mizbeach tafku with the Dalet Minim. And they were makif the Mizbeach 7 times. And it was a tremendous eisrotzen. On Hashem Hoshiyana, on Hashem Hatzlichana, Aniva Hoyoshiyana. Right, that's what was going on at that time, during that Gevaldige eisrotzen. What's this eisrotzen? So Pashin, it's the last day of Sukkot. Oh, it's a Shana Rabba, Piskatova, I get kvittel, right? That's what's going on right now. But Rabbeinu B'chaya says it's deeper than that. Today is the day of the 26th day from Brias Olam. Today is the day of a Shana Rabba. Today is the appropriate day to scream Amen Yeheshmei Rabba. He's saying Amen Yeheshmei Rabba on Hoshana Rabba. That's taking the Dalet Minim with this final taking and being makif the Mizbeach. L'chur, it all comes together. I see we have time, so just one final ha'ara, and that is, the Mishnah said that when the Yidden were makif the Mizbeach one time, every day of Sukkot, 7 times on a shout in Rabbah, so they would say, On Hashem Hashiyana, On Hashem Hatzlichana. Rabbi Huda said that what they would say is, Ani v'hoi Hashiyana. So what they would say is the pasuk of Ani v'hoi Hashiyana. Rashi, here, very uncharacteristically, in the Mishnah says, what does it mean, Ani v'hoi Hashiyana? So Ayin Shom. Right, it's rare that a Rashi is poshut above our pay grade in terms of, obviously the oimik of Rashi is always above our pay grade. But here, poshut the sprach of Rashi, it's very hard to understand Rashi. Usually Rashi can be understood by young children and can be understood by the grace of Lamdanim. But this Rashi is very hard to understand. Rashi says that the word anivahoi is begematria ona Hashem. And then Rashi says, v'oid mi shivim u'shtayin shemoisem. It's from the 72 Shemus. And then Rashi starts talking about Ramazim and Parshas B'shalach. This Rashi reads like a Zayar. Ayin Shom. But the bottom line is that on Hashem Hoshiyana, on Hashem Hatzlichana, Rabbi Yehuda said that they used to be Moisef, and they would say, Ani v'hoi Hoshiyana. They would say the words, Ani v'hoi Hoshiyana. But if you look at the Rambam, in his Pirush HaMishnayos, the Rambam says a different shot. The Rambam says, what does it mean, Ani v'hoi Hoshiyana? Ani, says Rashi, Mishemes Hashem Yisparach. Ukamoikein v'hoi. So Ani is from the Shemes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Vav Hei Vav is also from the Shemes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kach Omru HaMefarshon L'Gemar. So this is the pshat that I've seen in the Gemar. But then the Rambam says, V'ani Oimer, I think, Shu Koirei V'Roimis, I think it's in Rambam or something else. L'mashna Oimer, a pasuk in the Torah. The pasuk says, Re'u Ata Ki Ani Anihu. Shezeh HaPasuk, this pasuk, Bo B'Shmiras Yisrael. It's coming B'Shmir, it's coming to protect the Yidden. V'yishu Asam. U'ki'ilu Omar. And when we say Ani V'hoi Hoshiyana on Hoshana Rabba, when the Yidden used to say Ani V'hoi Hoshiyana when they were makiv the Mizbeach, this is what they were saying. They were turning to HaKadosh Baruch and they were saying, Ata She'omarto, you HaKadosh Baruch who told us, Re'u Ata Ki Ani Hu Hoshiyana. That's what we're referring to. Re'u Ata Ki Ani Hu. Ani v'hoi is a reference to a pasuk. And we're invoking this pasuk, and we're telling HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you told us in that pasuk that you're going to take care of us. So Hoshiyana, k'moy she'hivtachtanu, help us and deliver on that promise the way you said you were going to. So what's this pasuk that the Rambam quotes? Re'u ato ki ani anihu. This is a pasuk in Parshas Hazinu. The pasuk says, Re'u ato. This is obviously HaKadosh Baruch Hu talking. See, Ru, ato now, ki ani anihu, ich bin em, the einol kimimadi, einol mavadi. There's nobody else with me. Ani omes vachaya, says the Kadosh Baruch Hu. I'm the one who kills, but I'm also the one that brings back to life. Mochatzti vanierpa, I cause people, Rachman al son, to be sick, but vanierpa. I'm also the roifei cholim, the emiyadi matzel, and there's nobody that can be matzel anybody from me, because this is the ultimate expression of Einoid Movada. Re'u ato ki ani anihu ve'eno likimi modi ani omes v'achaya mechatzi v'anierpo ve'emi yodi matzel. So this is a posik that you can almost never know exists, but the Rambam says this posik is the posik. It is the ultimate avtocha the Yidden ever got. The ultimate avtocha that Klai Yisrael ever got in the entire Torah was this posik right here. And when we say on Eshan Rab, and when the Yidden did when they were makif the Mizbeach, the posik of ani v'hoi Hoshiyana, when they say Ani v'hoi Hoshiyana, what we're doing is we're invoking this pasuk. This pasuk says Ani, And it says who? Ani v'hoi, as if ani v'hu. HaKadosh Baruch, you told us, Ru'u ato ki ani ani hu, ve'ino likim imadi. You promised ani omis, but you said v'achaye. You promised mochatzti, but you said v'ani erpo. So we're poshit calling out HaKadosh Baruch, you made a haftacha, and we're asking you, Ashiyana, please, deliver on that promise and that pasuk in Perek Lamed Beis, pasuk Lamed Tes, tucked away at the very end of Sefer Devarim, in Parshas Hazino. So I once heard a Dover Nifla from Rabbi Shua Abib Yusel Shlita. He said a little bit of a hezber in this Rambam and the Pirush HaMishnayos, a little bit of a hezber in what the oimek of Ani v'hoi hoshiyana is, specifically referring to this pasuk of Re'u ato ki ani anihu. So he said over Behektim that there's a sefer that's called Kol Doidi. And the sefer Kol Doidi, they bring that the Vilna Gaon's brother, Rabbi Avram, who was Achi Agra, so he once went to the Vilna Gaon and he told him over a vart that he had seen in the Megala Amukas. So he told him over something he said from the Megala Amukas. The Megala Amukas said like this. He said that there are 955 Rikiyim. There are 955 Rikiyim. Tuf, Tuf, Kuf, Nun, Hey, Rikiyim. He said that on the Tuf, Tuf, Kuf, the first 900 Rikiyim, there's Malachim, and there's Srafim, and there's Doifanim, and there's Chayas HaKodesh, and they're different Malachim and entities, Dvarim Shel, Kedusha, metaphysical beings that are able to Drezach in those Rikiyim. But he said the highest 55 Rikiyim, those are places that it's not possible for anyone to go. There's Ein Rishus L'Shum Malach, that area is a place that's built Il Hashem Levadai. And he said a simon to this is, the Pasuk says, Hain Lashem Eloikecha, Hain is Nun Hay, it's Gematria 55, because the upper 55 Rikiyim, that's exclusive, that's Miyuchad to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Megala Mukah said like this. He said that if you look in Sefer Devarim, and you count up all the psukim, there's 955 psukim in Sefer Devarim. He says, when Moshe Rabbeinu started recounting Mishneh Torah, and this is Eilah Devarim Ashatib Er Moshe, so Moshe Rabbeinu was trying on some metaphysical level to be Bekei all the Rikiyim. He was trying to penetrate the Nikiyim. And he would say a Pasuk in Mishnah to Eilad Varim HaShadib HaShem HaMoshe, and he was able to be Bekei. He was able to go through that first Rikiyim. And then he said another Pasuk, and he was able to get through the second Rikiyim. And he said a third Pasuk, and he was able to get through the third Rikiyim. And he was able to go and go and go. And he said 900 Psukim, and by saying 900 Psukim, he was able to be Bekei 900 Rikiyim. And then Moshe Rabbeinu said a Pasuk, Sinish Gegangen. And he tried again. And he realized he couldn't get through. So he couldn't understand what's going on. So he realized that he must have gotten to a point where it's impossible to be by Keya. The Malachim can't go there. And Moshe Rabbeinu Kaviyoch, whatever this means, what it is, Psukim in Mishneh Torah, have no ability to go to that place. So you know what Moshe Rabbeinu did? Moshe Rabbeinu said that I realize now that there's an area that it's so enoid milvada that even the malachim and the srafim and the chayis hakodesh, nobody has an ability to go. So therefore, if you take a look at the 901st pasuk in Sefer Devarim, Moshe Rabbeinu said, "Ru'u ato ki ani anihu ve'ein alikim imodi ani omis v'achayim achatzti v'ani erpa ve'ein miyodi matzel." Moshe Rabbeinu said this pasuk. This is the 901st pasuk, because 900 psukim he was able to penetrate. So, but then he came to a point he couldn't go anymore. So Moshe Rabbeinu realized that it must be 900 rikiyim ashayich. But after that, it's not shayich. That very next pasuk was a declaration of that. Ru'u, ata, now I see. Ki ani ani hu, ve'ein alikim imodi, ani omis v'achaye, machatzti v'ani erpo, ve'ein miyodi matzah. And the last 55 psukim, it starts from Ru'u ata ki ani ani hu, Moshe Rabbeinu already couldn't be by Kei the Rikim, because at that point there was a gather of ani ani hu, ve'ein alikim imodi. So the Achi Agra said this word over to the Vilna Goyen, the kol se ma'oid achiv Agra. That's what it says in the Sefer Kol Doidi. And the Vilna Goyen heard this, and he was meshabeachin, and the Goyen said, the truth is, if you look at that pasuk, it's written completely out of context, it doesn't flow with the psukim before, it doesn't flow with the psukim after. And he said that's what the Megala Amukas was saying, is because this pasuk was taka out of context. This was pashut, a recognition that Moshe Rabbeinu had now, which is Re'u ato ki ani anihu ve'ein alikim imodi. So then Rabbi Shu'abu was Moisef, that he said he saw in a sefer, this is not from Rabbi Avram, the brother of the Vilna Gaon, but this is from Rabbi Avram ben Hagra. He taich that we say in davening, in Keil Odoin, on Shabbos. So we say, HaMiskoy al Chayes HaKodesh, the Nedar B'chovoid ala Merkovo, S'chus u Mishor lifnei Chesoy, Chesed V'rachamim
Mole chavaydai, or chesed v'rachamim lifnei chavaydai. But schus hu mishar lifnei chesoy, chesed v'racham mole chavaydai. So Rabbi Avram, the son of the Vilna Gaon, teaches the pasuk like this. He said, there are two mekoymos in Shemayim. There's lifnei chesoy, and then there's lifnei chavaydai. These are two separate places. Lifnei chesoy, these are the first 900 rakim, like the Magala Amukah said. That's an area where the malachim are allowed to go. That's an area where the srofim, the chayis, the fani hakodesh are allowed to go. Because that's a place where other entities are able to be. So there's a bezin shalmayil over there. Over there, it's schosu mishar. Over there, you need schosim. Over there, it works with Mishar, it works with a Seder, it works with a Cheshbin. There's a methodology to how things happen lifnei chesoy. But then there's a place of the 55 Rakim that the Magala Muki spoke about. That's an area where it's ani hu ve'ein alikim imadi. Ani omes v'chaya. Mochat stiva ani erpo. Ve'ein miyadi matz. There's nobody else. There's not even malachim. That's a place that Moshe Rabbeinu with his psukim of Mishnah Torah couldn't even be by Keah. That area of Kvaydai, that's kulay HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What is HaKadosh Baruch Hu? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is kulay toiv. So that's chesed v'rachim in Molei Kvaydai. That area is all chesed v'rachim. Schusim Mishnah lifnei chesed, that's the first 900 rekiim. Oh, but once you get to the top 55, there it's only HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If it's only HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so now it's already me'elyon loitei tzeyara. That's chesed v'rachim in Molei Kvaydai. That's what's going on over there. So Bishu Abba was Moisef. That we say in Naritzcha v'nakdishcha, or in Keser Yitnu Lecha. I'll read it from Keser. So we say, Keser Yitnu Lecha, Hashem Elokeinu Malachim Amoy Neimala. Right, we're being mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we're being mispalot HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kvoidei molei oilam. The kavod HaKadosh Baruch Hu is molei oilam. Abim mishars of shayalim zelo ze. Aye mekoyim kvoidei laritzoi. Aye, they can't find this place. Aye mekoyim kvoidei. Why can't they find mekoyim kvoidei? Because mekoyim kvoidei, like the Vilna Gaon said, these are the top 55 rakiyim. This is the place which ru'u ataki ani ani hu. Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't get there. The malachim can't go there. So we say, aye mekoyim kvoidei. They can't find it. They can't find it because it's hidden from everybody. It's the last 55 psukim. Baruch kvod Hashem mimkoymei. What do we say? Mimkoymei. Mimkoymei. What comes from that place? That place that they can't find. Hu yifem beracham of liamoy. It's a place of rachamim. It's chesed verachamim lifnei chvoidoi. It's chesed verachamim molei chvoidoi. So we say mimkoymei from that mokoym where there's no schosum mishar. The mokoym that's chesed verachamim. The makam where it's ani omis vachaya mochatzdi vani erpo. So if a person could tap into that place, there's no chosom mishar anymore. Now there's no cheshbon anymore. So we say mimkoymoy uyifem berachmav liyamoy v'yochay naam amyachnim shmoy kodesh baruch hu have rachmanis erev avoyk b'chayim tamid. And then finally hu alikeinu hu avinu, and he said maybe this is v'yashmiyenu berachmav shenis leinu kolchay leimer. And then what do we say? Hein Goalti Eschem. What's the gematria of Hein? Hein is also 55. Say, Hein Goalti Eschem. This is a tefillah that Kodesh Baruch Hu, I understand this chus and this mishar. And lav kol adam zoicha lekach. And sometimes you need tremendous chusim. And if it's mishar, maybe it's not going to go so smoothly. Because not always does it play out. But there's a mokum, there's a place that's called lifnei chvoidoi. And in the place of lifnei chvoidoi, it's not chusim mishar, but in that place, it's chesed verachamim. And that's a place that the malachim have no shaykhs to. And that's where they say, Aye, mekoyim kevaydai. But we understand what that place is. So we tell HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we know we have no shaychus to it. But we're mispalo mimkoymoy hu yifem berachem of le'amoy. That place, which is a place of molei rachemim, mimkoymoy hu yifem berachem of le'amoy. And finally, hein goalti eschem, hein begematria nun hey, hein goalti eschem. That's ultimately where the geula should come from. So Shuabba said, Pashit, this is the oimek and what's going on over here. That on a Shana Rabbah, and this is the Yoim Hadin of Yoim Hadins. This is the Piskatova. This is the Gitkvittel. This is like the Zohar HaKadosh says. So the Yidden were being makif the Mizbech. And what did they invoke? They said, Aniva Hoyoshiyana. And this is it. This is the left. This Chus and this Mishar. And this Rosh Hashanah Yekasevun. This Yom Tzom Kippur Yechasemun. And now we're holding by the Gvittel. This is our last chance. The last chance is Chus and Mishar Lifnei Chis. I understand. About Kodesh Baruch Hu, there's another part. Pasuk. This is the 901st pasuk in Sefer Devarim. Re'u atno ki ani ani hu ve'ena likim imadi. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you promised ani omis, but you said this is mitchias ameisim. Va'achaye, not just tchias ameisim, but tchias achayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mechaye chayim also. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you said machatzdi, but at the same time you said va'ani erpo. So we try to invoke that place. And that's what ani v'hoyo ishiyano is. We're trying to get to that pasuk like the Megala Amukah said. V'kol se'hagro. That's what we're trying to get. factor. We're trying to tap in to that place, because we can tap into that place. You know what's there? It's Mimkoimai Hu Yifem Berachamim La'amai. And ultimately, it's from that place, those 55 Rakiyim, that Hengo Alti Eschem, that the Geula is going to come from.